Namaste. Welcome to the next 8-4 Play Podcast, your first, only, greatest NFT home, free, oh. NFT free.
What?
No, no NFTs.
What are you
that
doing?
That was dangerous.
For games and Japan and gaming in Japan. I am your host, Mark James Jesus McDonald, still NFT free. We're not taking any sponsorship money from any NFT company, so please stop bothering us. Stop trying to throw all your money at us.
I know our episode images are really good, but like, yes, they're for the people.
Those are exactly, that's right. That's the mere meaning and the spirit behind those can never be sullied. We are going to be like Bernie Sanders. We're only going to take small donations via Patreon. We don't want your big corporate sponsorships. Please stop bothering us. Stop trying to buy us. Gabe is not for sale. Ladies and gentlemen. I guess I should introduce you. This is a man who works in IT, but pays his bills at the convenience store.
What?
Gabe Brave De Leon.
Hello. Why we gotta put me out there like that?
But
why public need to know that?
It's like a quaint, a little character quirk of yours. Like, yes, that you work in high tech, but you can actually, people who don't know, you can pay your utility bills at, you know, pretty much any convenience store or a lot of places in Japan.
Yep. Pay your taxes at the convenience store to up to a certain degree too.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
News to me.
And like, or the post office, or like, there's lots of interesting ways to do it. But most people turn like 25 or 26 and they decide like, hey, this is a stupid way of doing things. I should just get it to automatically go out of my bank account or my credit card or any number of different ways that we use to pay for things in the 21st century. But Gabe, why don't you explain to us about why you every month, so you wait for all your bills to accrue. You have like a little pile of like
a little pile
unpaid and paid bills.
Yep.
Do you have an in tray and an out tray?
I don't.
I'll get you one for Christmas.
All right. Cheers. I walk to the convenience store and they scan the bills and I pay them in cash and I get myself a treat and then I go home. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Making those community lines longer for your stupid bills. Okay. Ask the old woman behind you who's waiting to pay for her heart medicine, Gabe. Why don't you ask her what's wrong with that?
Because I don't trust the utility companies having my bank account information. I know
But you can't have big gas out there knowing your bank account info. Because
I do not want them having direct access to that. That stuff's going to get leaked. I don't trust that they're going to encrypt that info or anything that.
Here's the thing. We're roasting Gabe, and we've been roasting Gabe since before we started recording. But when you think about it, he knows more about the security shit than any of us, right? If he is concerned, maybe we also should be concerned.
No. This isn't, Tina. I think this is a matter of knowing too much about something. It's like if you work at the sausage factory, you don't eat hot dogs, right? You know too much about something. And so you can no longer enjoy it. You can no longer do what like normal people can just do, right? And so,
ouch.
Gabe, I think you're too far gone.
I just got called not normal.
That's all right.
That's
nothing wrong with.
Look, I use
being normal is overrated.
Okay,
Gabe. I was going to segue to introduce the next person, but I think that could be construed as an insult for whoever. So I'm going to randomly choose who it is. Okay, there. Apropos of nothing, her levels are a little high. That is Tina, weirdly fuckable grass type Pokemon.
That's Carter. Not a nickname.
There it is. Hey, y'all.
So yeah, you were asking. Well, you should explain what this is first before I'll tell you my little story about this.
So I played Pokemon Yellow as a child. I played Pokemon Silver.
Oh, we're
as
going,
a child.
We're going back there. Okay. Yeah.
And then I didn't play another Pokemon game I mean, I still haven't really played another Pokemon game since then. So, like, I know Gen 1 and 2, and then that's it. So, there are a gajillion Pokemon out there that I don't know what they are. And in playing Pokemon Unite, I have been introduced gradually to a bunch of new Pokemon that I had never seen before this.
Right.
And I'm getting thrown off by the number of, like, weirdly humanoid to, like, mm-hmm. potentially fuckable levels Pokemon that are out there. And they seem to be right. grass types, I think. I don't know. They're green. Like,
right.
I've seen the Gardevoir memes, so I knew that that one was out there. But there's another one called, like, Serena that's basically just, like, a pair of legs that punches you. And I'm like...
It doesn't kick you. It punches you.
Well, it punches you with its legs.
Okay.
Uh-oh. I don't know. It's she's got like long hair kind of, and she's like got like thigh high boots, but is a plant at the same time. And I don't know. There's just a lot more humanoid Pokemon than there used to be.
Right.
And one of the starters is like a soccer fire bunny, but also humanoid. Lucario is like weirdly humanoid. I don't know. There's a bunch of
the bunny one too.
Walking upright dudes, and I'm like, what happened to Pokemon being like inanimate objects?
Well, so the let's not forget.
Smell real bad.
Let's not forget from Gen 1, Jinx and Mr. Mime were both in Gen 1. Both.
That's right.
And Mr. Mime was weird from day one. You're not wrong about that.
Yeah. I'm kind of joking about Mr. Mime, but not Jinx.
No,
I'm sure plenty of kids came of age, if so to speak, playing Gen 1 Pokemon. Oh, I should not have Google image searched Jinx. Oh, no, I should not have done that.
But, like, it's basically canon.
There are some fans out there.
It's basically canon that Mr. Mime is, like, Ash's father figure. In the anime.
Yes, that's right. I did read that somewhere. Or is there something about that?
Well, it's just Ash's mom is presumably a single mother because you never really hear about Ash's dad. Maybe this was addressed later in the show. I don't know. But he's just sort of not ever mentioned. But Ash's mom has this Mr. Mime who's like extremely present. And so everyone's just like, oh, that's your dad now.
So there's a, first of all, I don't suggest anyone Google image search for Jinx Pokemon. But if you do definitely not click on the real life filter up top. And then further, do not click on the Jinx Halloween makeup tutorial video from YouTube. Definitely do not. Go out on a limb and guess that this was made before. Yes, it was before last year. Yes. Okay. Anyway, enough said. But not enough said about our last and final, regular. A man obsessed with Jennifer Aniston's nipples. That is John. Banjo's Bizarre Adventure, Ricciardi.
How did I get pulled into the Aniston thing?
How did you get pulled into it? You were the one just telling us all about. You were the one just.
I was the one saying like I
all about your research into the topic.
I see.
Friends, well, yeah. To be clear, Friends era. We're not deviants here. This is Friends era. Jennifer Aniston's.
She's pretty. I've never thought she was like the hottest thing in the world, but it seems I'm very outnumbered, especially in this room.
In the 90s, beforehand. You didn't? When Friends?
Yeah,
was,
no, I don't. I mean, so she's all right, but I wasn't like, you know, falling over for her, I guess. But I get it. I understand.
But so just her nipples. You're into her nipples only. Not
right, right. Well, we lived in Chicago. It was cold, and, you know,
yeah.
We had to deal with that sort of thing all the time. How are you?
Like that what was a difficult your, time for you dealing with your Chicago nipple.
What about your banjo? Do you want to talk about this? I think this will be a shock to certain listeners.
Banjo-Kazooie is out. I think, by the time you're listening to this, I believe it's out for Switch Online as like the new N64 game you can play this month. And I'm not promising much. I'm going to give it an hour. I'm going to try it. I got the controller. You know, I played it back in the day, and I didn't like it.
Shaking
I don't
my
think
head
it's,
over here.
You know,
shaking my head the whole time. Keep going.
I But, you know, I've probably built up 20 years worth of hate since it actually did come out in terms of, like, you know, just talking about it whenever anybody brings it up. Like, I don't like it. I don't think it was that great. But, you know, it's been long enough now that I figure I'll give it another shot just to remind myself. Because, you know, when you get older sometimes, like, you'll be more forgiving of things that you might have been, like, really, really against when you were younger. Like, oh, my God, this is, like, offensive to me, you know? And now it's like, well, I don't know. My goals in what I'm playing are different, or I have more time or less time or whatever. And I'm just going to give it a shot and see how it goes.
See, as a Banjo-Kazooie lover, I am hesitant to be too optimistic about that, because I think the best circumstances in which to have played that game were, like, when you were a little kid who didn't really know any better and, like, had time to waste on, like, kind of clunky flying mechanics, like flying past something 60 times trying to pick it up because you can't, like, you know, turn a corner quite fast enough.
Accidentally got into your mom's liquor cabinet and had a few drinks.
If that game...
What?
If that game had come out before Mario 64, maybe I could have, like, just swallowed my vomit from looking at the visuals long enough to, like, collect puzzle pieces or whatever stupid shit you do in that game.
That's, like, some real fucking unnecessarily hateful shit right there. Like, why are you so angry at this game? Are you mad at it because it's funny? Are you mad at it because you didn't make it? Do you secretly wish that you would make this game? Is that what this is about?
That's right. It's all about what's wrong with me. It's not about the terrible, crappy character designs or, like, wannabe, you know, it's all about...
Excuse me, it's a bear with a bird in his backpack, and she could fly.
Like, yeah, I know. Shouldn't that be enough? I know. It sounds... I know.
There's a mole who wears glasses, and his name is Bottles.
There's eyeballs.
Because he wears glasses.
Piece. It's a puzzle piece, but it's got big eyeballs. And
everything's got eyeballs.
I mean, I'm having fun with it to a certain point, but I am being honest that, like, I don't... Like, when I tried it, it was after Mario 64, and it was just kind of like, all I could see was something that I felt like was trying and failing to be something that. So, yeah, I don't begrudge you, John. I'd be very interested to hear, John.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm going in here expecting, like, my mind to be changed or anything. I just feel like it's been long enough that I mean, to be fair, even Mario 64, when it got re-released on the whatever, that, like, All-Stars pack, I couldn't play it for more than, like, an hour.
Shut as much your dirty as I love mouth. That game.
No, because it just doesn't feel good anymore.
Shut your dirty
See,
mouth.
See, now you know how it feels.
No. That's not why Banjo-Kazooie is bad. So just to say, it just doesn't feel good anymore playing, like, a 1996, you know, 3D game with a modern system, because you don't have modern camera controls, which they should have baked in. You don't have, like, all the things you've gotten used to over the last 20 years. But you still have amazing level designs, amazing gameplay, amazing characters. And, like, that's something, the thing about Banjo that I think turned all of us off was it just felt like, that was, like, the beginning of a long period where, like, everybody thought the cool thing to do was just make games where you just collect a bunch of nonsense bullshit for, like, hours, and that was gameplay.
Yes.
And then it's got these characters that they look like, you know, rejected, you know, Disney intern designs or whatever. You know, it's not like...
The funny thing is,
it's not appealing in the magical way that Mario is, I feel like.
Well, okay, hang on. I've got a question there to follow up on that then. What, if that's the case, like, if you liked Mario and you found it difficult to play because, you know, it's been a long time since it came out and a lot of stuff has changed, what part of your brain thinks that you're going to not hate Banjo-Kazooie then? Like, I feel very, like, if very, anything, very you're going to hate it part. More now because it's going to have that working against it, plus well, decades of prejudice.
To not be facetious about this and just be serious for about 30 seconds. Like,
can we be serious about Banjo-Kazooie? This is not something we should be joking about. Let's just cut
I just took my googly guys off. My googly eyes off and put them
take
on the table.
Off. Thank you. Let's be serious here, people.
I think I can potentially... put aside, like, I know it's ugly and it's been ugly my whole life, and so I feel like I can put that part aside at least and just see, like, was there a game here that I could actually get interested in or not? And I don't think there probably will be, but I'm looking forward to seeing.
So what I was going to say is, yes, even at the time, people knew in Mario 64 did not have, like, a perfect camera by any means. Like, you would struggle against it. But also, something that I think is interesting, when you really think about Mario 64's gameplay, you are just collecting stuff. in that game too. Like, all you're doing is collecting stuff, but it manages to somehow obfuscate or hide it better, or maybe it's the fact that everything just doesn't have eyeballs on it and is talking to you or something. Like, I don't know what it is, but somehow it's just so much, somehow it feels different, right? Like, collecting, I don't know why, but anyway. All right.
When I was in college, I had a big CRT in my bedroom that I had, like, my old consoles hooked up to, and that TV had a big old set of rare googly eyes stuck on it.
Nice.
So
were you popular on your dorm floor? Were you the room that everybody came to play?
Excuse me, I lived in my parents' attic. Thank you very much.
Oh, mm-hmm. Whoa. All through college?
Mm-hmm.
You never got the dorm experience?
I mean, I did for 1 year when I did study abroad in Japan, which was, feel like that was probably like many, many years worth of various college experiences crammed into one school year. But yeah, for like normal college, I just lived with my parents the whole time because my parents are super chill and it was free.
Right on. And you had the attic. You had like the cool Fonzie.
My attic bedroom was dope, except for the squirrels that lived in the walls that woke me up a lot.
Sounds like a Ghibli movie or something you got going on there. All right. We don't have a whole lot of like super hot games that we've been playing to talk about, but there is a bunch of news and just random crap. Do we even check in on anything? Final Fantasy 14, there's some news about it. They're going to sell it again. Gabe, I don't think you need to. You're still playing it, even though you...
Yeah. Hey, John, guess how many level 90 jobs I have?
All of them, probably, knowing you.
No, what am I, a monster?
You've got at least five.
Higher.
How many possible are there?
For combats, there are 20 total.
Okay.
How long does it take to level one up to like the maximum level?
Like an afternoon if you no life it, or a day if you no life it.
I don't
What's
even know
your
what that
game
means.
Clock up to,
I don't want to look at that.
Poop socket, basically, I think is what you're saying.
Poop socket. Yeah, I
want you to look at that and report back, Gabe.
No, because then I'll stop playing it.
That's not normal.
I'm at 13.
13
jobs
out of 20. Yeah,
John, I see you're playing Octopath Traveler, which I actually dipped a toe into before the holidays, totally randomly on Game Pass. It seemed fine. It didn't super grab me. It was like a little too story heavy up front. It seemed like something you have to really want and appreciate a lot of story and exposition.
It's a story heavy game for sure.
Yeah. Maybe at least early on. And again, I only played like the first hour, but I was really digging the visuals and the stuff that they do with depth of field. And
do you remember who you started
which
with
character?
When you played it? Yeah.
It was, I want to say she was like a hunter.
Ooh,
or,
okay. Mm. Hanit, you have the white leopard buddy?
Maybe. Like her dad or uncle went off at the very start of the game.
Yeah.
And left her.
And everyone spoke with a funny the Inneth
Hunt. That is the most annoying town in the whole game. Yeah, that's the worst part of it. Yeah.
I was gonna get into that. I wanted to
the whole game's
nice
not like
first,
that. Don't worry.
We were laughing. I was playing it with a friend of the show, Jake Hasdell. We were like, "Is this for real? Are they like in the game making fun of that in the game? Or are they really like? Are they really trying to say that? It was really poorly done.
Yeah, you often doing and often notin doing, and I feel anybody who started
like
with her had a bad time. I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Try something new because it is like a made up sort of, I don't know, dialect, but it's not consistent. It's the biggest problem. And it's also a lot of it is annoying. And so it's like, well, maybe you should have tuned it or balanced it or thought
it
again when you got halfway
no.
through and realized it's not actually working out. But you know,
it was a big swing.
It's
a
real small thing.
Miss.
Yeah. It's a really small part of the game, fortunately, but
okay. Well, if you start with that character, it's like
sure.
100%.
It's an unfortunate intro. Yeah.
It was really like a kid trying to like, to pretend to do like Shakespeare, like is what it read like. It was really bad, and I know that stuff is harder to do because I happened to nail it in Dragon's Dogma. So, you know, I think I know how hard it is to do. There's not a lot of Mark McDonald's, you know, in the world running around riding Octopath Traveler, but, you know, they tried. Who did you start with, John?
I started with Primrose because the first time I played the game, I don't know, years ago.
Which character? Give us the, like,
she's the
level.
Dancer, like, oh, who's...
The sexy dancer.
The sexy dancer whose father was... Was he murdered, I guess? Or I forget exactly what happened at the beginning. She's out for
spoiler.
Revenge.
Spoiler!
He's like, well, spoiler oh for God. The first, literally the first, like, 3 minutes, but...
Spoiler cast.
I feel like I played her in the demo or something, because I played the game before it came out a little bit. It must have been a demo or something, so maybe that's why I wanted to start there, but...
There was
I've
demo,
gotten...
Yeah.
I've done all eight of the, like... characters like first chapters now, and I'm like part way through chapter two, I guess. I like it a lot. Like, I always thought I would, I just never had time. Like, it's one of those games you could tell you have to sink a lot of time into it. But it's got a fantastic battle system. Like, the battle system is really, 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 really well done. Like, no single battle in the game is boring. Even the most, like, the rats in the forest or whatever are, like, interesting because, like, of the way the game is set up and how you know, every character, every enemy has weak points, and it's got the sort of Bravely Default thing where if you kind of like hold off on a attack, you can then attack twice the next round if you want to. And so there's like a lot of strategy in the battles.
Yeah, I remember liking the battle. I don't even remember how it worked. You saying it reminded me, but I do remember being like, oh, this is actually kind of cool.
It's really good. And when you get to boss battles and stuff, and you really have to think about, you know, how to do stuff, and, you know, because you're also every enemy, I mean, this is an old game, so I don't have to explain it in great detail, but every enemy has like a sort of a break meter, and like you basically hit their weak point enough times to sort of break them, and that will cancel their attack and also, you know, make them more prone to damage. And so there's a lot of thought put into these battles. It reminds me of like the Super Nintendo Final Fantasy days where like they would actually make you think about how you're going to fight the enemy and the things you have to do in order to get through a fight.
Right.
So, exactly, I love that stuff. And the music, it's one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard in any game ever. It is like top 10. It is so, so good.
Who do we know who did the music for it?
I do, but I forgot his name, but, he's amazing. And that's like the only really big game he's done in recent years too.
We'll look him up. Sometime
yeah,
I
forgot his name offhand. He's amazing. It's really good. I was in the Triangle Strategy is coming out soon, and I really liked the demo. And so I just thought, okay, if I'm ever going to play Octopath, probably now is the time to do it before that one comes out, because that's the next, like, HD, you know, 3D game or 2D game, whatever they call it. So,
are they related narratively or no?
No, or just, like, visually, you know.
Yeah,
really, that's
same
it.
Team.
Okay.
It's not even the same team. It's just the same tech. It's a different developer. But
really?
Yeah, I mean, it's produced – I think they're produced by, like, the same people at Square Enix, so it's, like, it's kind of – you might call it like the same department, but it's not the same developer. Like, I think Octopath was it Acquire or something like that? I forget who.
Yeah, I think it was. And it was outside. Yeah.
I think Triangle Strategy is either in-house or someone else. And then, you know, Bravely Default is also someone else. And so
it is Acquire. Yeah, it was Acquire. I thought for sure it must be the same team. So maybe just the same producer.
It's almost like they've developed like a house style to go on these games, but they don't necessarily have to have the same devs. I mean, they're also remaking Dragon Quest III with that look too, which I'm really excited about. But
it's weird that they've not branded that. Well, and maybe there will be an Octopath Traveler 2. I'm guessing that it was popular enough that there will be, but actually I'm sure that's what it is. That's probably why it's not Acquire doing the other game. I'm guessing that they'd be working on a sequel.
Yeah, and in Japan at least, I don't know what they do in the West, but in Japan they're called like HD 2D, like it's like the HD 2D series basically of these games.
Oh, right,
like,
that's right.
And Octopath has a mobile game in Japan. I don't think it's out in the West yet, but it's kind of popular here, and it's like a prequel to the Switch game, and so that's probably what's next for that series. Like maybe they'll put it out in the West. I don't know on mobile. But.
So Tina,
I gotta know,
yeah.
John. Who do you like the best, and who are you like, man, I got to do this guy next, man?
I like Primrose the best probably because I started with her, but I also have, what's the big, I forgot his name, Obrick, yeah, I like him. He's just your big kind of warrior, like strong guy. And the one I like the least is the one who talks funny, yeah, because it's annoying. Like, I mean, it's a cool character,
I chose very poorly.
You unfortunately did, yeah.
Yeah, she looks cool.
Yeah,
yeah, they all look cool.
I started with Primrose too because I was like, you know, hot lady in like the desert and kind of, you know, this looks great. Cool. Okay, let's go for it. And I almost immediately regretted starting with her once I started someone else's, because her story is so much cooler than everybody else's. Like,
oh, it's pretty dark. It's, like, dark, it's, and mature. It's like, it goes places that I was like, wow,
compared to some of the other ones for me, you know, like, some of the other ones are a lot more frivolous, and I'm just kind of like, oh, that's cute. You thought you did something there. And then you compare it to Primrose and one other person who I don't even want to say who it is, because I don't want to color your thoughts. Spoilers. But there are two that just really stood out, as their stories were so much more interesting than the others, to unfortunate degree, I thought.
Yeah.
Right.
It's long, though. It looks really long.
Well, you know how you did that first chapter that long, for everybody? Everybody has four chapters.
I know, but and they, are they all around the same length? I mean, you know, the thing is, it's getting to a point now where I feel like a couple times I had to pause and grind a little bit to like be ready to deal with the boss and stuff. And like, I don't mind grinding because the fights are really good in this game, but it still is time. It's like time that I wish it had a fast forward button. That would have been good. Like, you know, like games lately sometimes are adding those. I think this would have been the perfect game to have a fast forward button, because ultimately, when you know what you're doing, it's just now you just have to wait for it to happen. And if I'm going to be doing it over and over again, I would like to speed through it, but it doesn't. But
did you, John, that reminds me, did we talk about the patch notes for the Final Fantasy remasters? Because they're actually going in and fixing and doing little tweaks to things, like really weird, very specific things about how certain spells work and certain things that were like exploits and stuff like that. It's really interesting to see the stuff that they're still like, you know, patching it the same way you would if you made that game, put it out for the first time in this day and age, that you would fix it. But it's stuff that's like infamous, I guess, for people who really know those games backwards and forwards. It's super fascinating to read those patch notes. And they also talk about like what they're going to be changing.
Totally. I'm looking through my YouTube history right now while you're saying this, because there was a great series of videos that I unfortunately can't find right now, but it was like this guy basically compares all the versions of every Final Fantasy over the years, you know, like Final Fantasy IV, every version of Final Fantasy IV, Final Fantasy V, every version of Final Fantasy V, and like goes through the little differences between them. And in 5 and 6, especially with the Pixel Remasters, just like crazy levels of detail about stuff like that, like how spells work and how skills.
Oh, is that recent? Know. It has those as well. Remasters?
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely want to watch this.
It was really interesting. Like down to like, you know, some of this stuff is bugs and some of this stuff is just they decided to change how it works. And, you know, sometimes it affects the whole party and sometimes it only affects one person and, you know,
sometimes
lots of
math. Just against a certain boss and stuff like that. It's like the barrier spell against this boss, like doesn't double reflect, or it's like
exactly
very in the weeds stuff.
Yeah.
Like the exact kind of stuff you want to have a YouTuber explain to you, like
totally.
all of the differences. I'll have to, maybe you could find that and we could put it in the show notes or something.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Tina, you were saying that they added somebody to Pokemon Unite. You still playing that?
I'm still playing the shit out of that.
Still
yeah.
on that shit.
There's
shit
on that shit. Right before we started recording, I was looking at Twitter and there was like, you know, so-and-so has just been added. And I'm like, fuck, there's another fucking thing I have to learn how to fight against. And it's like a tree. And that was what prompted the weird number of grass types with limbs, but this one's literally just a tree, so it's okay.
You see the tree that's got like big bulbs on the end of his fingers? And
no, because I know that one. That one's from Gen 2. This one's straight up just like a real spiky, spooky looking tree.
Are you still playing, Gabe?
Nah, I kind of can't keep up with it anymore because
got too intense for you.
So it's just the matches were basically 50-50 and, going up that ranked ladder, it would be like, okay, I could spend a whole night and make no net progress and kind of just the fact that they just kept coming out with more and more Pokemon. And I was like, I can't keep up with this.
If the ranked stuff was one of the major things discouraging you from playing, you might want to come back because they did something with the matchmaking. Where, you know, the patch notes said that you will now be teamed up with people at your skill level, air quotes, which basically means they aren't putting people in Ultra on teams of people who are beginners anymore. Like now all my teams, like I'm Ultra, all my team members are like veteran or Ultra. And it doesn't mean it's a flawless experience, but it's definitely a lot better.
No, my games actually started to get really good in that, like, I was getting a bunch of veterans and people around my level. It was just because of the way the last 2 minutes, it's like basketball. The last 2 minutes is what matters in that game. So, like, so many matches would be like, okay, all we have to do is, like, everything boiled down to handling Zapdos or Articuno, whatever it is now.
Well, I mean, if you simplify it, yeah, but... If you look at it, you know, if you got Dreadnought three times during the match, you're probably going to be able to kick some ass and get the central target at the end. Like,
yeah. And it was just one of those things. Just like, okay. And I still enjoy the idea of it, but it was just one of those things of like, okay, I can't keep up with this because like you just said, now I got to learn this new Pokemon and how to deal with it. And I was just like, yeah, you do, actually.
That's those games. You know, that's signing up for that type of game, right? I mean, yeah, that's what you're trying to get signing up for.
Yeah, and like...
We got to relearn the whole meta and every balance change, you have to do that too.
Yep, and I already do that when I like a fighting game, and it's one of those things of like, I only have so much space in my soul for that.
Sure, you have to get your 50th, you know, Final Fantasy 14 class up to level 14th. 200 or whatever.
14th.
Okay. Why don't we move on to news? Because there is actually some interesting news. Gabe, hit us with the news theme.
News. News. News.
So my
That's
daughter
really
was
a
very,
banger, isn't it?
Was very excited to meet in person the guy who says Rob news Zombie. From the famous news theme song. No, more excited than she probably would have been to meet Rob Zombie.
Oh no, we lost Mark.
That was a sneeze.
Okay. Bless you.
No, yeah, I'm very much more excited than she would be to meet Rob Zombie, the person who says news. I still get requests for her to hear that regularly.
You know,
speaking with the kids, that one.
Right. Speaking of Dragula, so randomly somebody posted this. I'm sorry that I don't remember who, so I can't credit them, but like somebody posted the season one and season two, the differences between the season one and season two theme songs for the Munsters. Are you guys aware of this? You guys know the Munsters, the show.
Yeah, I do.
Which essentially it's inspired Dragula. Right. But, the theme song between them was different and they're banging, man. They're really good, but I just, watching
Wait,
that,
a different
I
was one than the
there's just two variations of it. They're kind of different and they're both really good, but they're different. Season one and then like season two on have like two different versions of it. You should go back and listen. But
I was 5 hours of YouTube after this.
Imagine trying to explain that show though to someone who like I was showing my wife who, you know, she is actually pretty on top of like TV and the West and stuff, but she never saw the Munsters. And so like trying to show the show and explain it, it's like, oh, and then like, you know, listening to the music together, we're both like, actually, like, this music is pretty good. And of course she knows who Rob Zombie is. So then I explain, well, that's where, you know, Dragula came from. Like,
of
this
course
character
she knows who Rob Zombie is. I love how you said that.
Oh, she was heavy into, dude, her musical, music is what made her learn English. Is like she, you know, she just
Dragula? Are you saying Dragula is why
all,
she learned English?
Probably number one. No, yeah, all music. But like she listened to all that shit. And so... That was like a really interesting connection to make, and in the process of that, we were like, "Yeah, this music's kind of jamming."
She got like the Rosetta Stone set of CDs and opened it up, and the first one was just Dragula.
All of them are Dragula. It's just every single one.
Everything just a single was, everything CD with Dragula 15 times in a row.
Exactly.
You don't have to hit that repeat button.
I 100% forgot Dragula was in the Matrix movie, the first Matrix.
We just talked about this like 3 months ago. Babe.
Really?
Was that the week Gabe was out, maybe?
Was that the last episode?
Okay. No!
He's in the club. It's the club scene, right? Like, really? I didn't realize
We had
that
a big conversation
either.
About it, because we were like, was it during the orgy, or was it during the club part at the beginning? And the White Rabbit leads Neo at the beginning to go and meet Trinity for the first time to this, like, S&M club where they're playing Dragula. And that was where I first heard Dragula, and I was like, that's a fucking good song. I downloaded it.
Now you know
that they're
the
still
rest
playing in like
the
2200 or whatever, obviously. So,
but I guess we should not just talk about Dragula. We'll actually talk about the news. This is why we have it's a fresh reason to talk about Dragula every episode. Always welcome to everybody. So, Sony finally announced the name for their next generation VR, and it is drumroll, please, Dragula drumroll, PlayStation VR 2.
Wow!
Ta-da!
Yeah,
that's right.
I am excited.
So, yes, they showed it off at CES. This kind of came out of nowhere. Seemingly, but it's like, oh, okay, yeah, it is CES. That's right. They do CES at the beginning of the year. So it kind of made sense in part of a larger Sony. It was like between them revealing their car that they're making, I think, and some other stuff. So it's kind of part of the larger Sony vision. But they did show a launch title, which is the Horizon Call of the Mountain. The section that they showed looked like kind of like an on rails, like, you know, Jurassic Park shooter where you're just going down a stream and seeing stuff. But I mean, it looked like a PS5 game. I mean, it looked freaking, yeah, not something that you would get on PSVR 1 for sure. What else did they say about it? It's going to use headset based controller tracking, so no PlayStation camera. It has those controllers. They showed what the controllers look like. They look pretty cool. They look similar to Oculus Touches, no surprise. Headset feedback. New sensory feature that amplifies the sensation of in-game actions for the players, which is something that I don't think any of the other headsets have done, which we're kind of very interested and excited about at Enhance, because, you know, we're all about that vibration.
Yes.
Let's see. What
eye tracking.
Eye tracking.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah. Eye tracking.
So additional input for the game character. So I think that's that gives performance increases, but then also potentially has, because you can just, I guess, do higher res where you're looking, but also potential gameplay ideas. You might be able to like use it for menus and stuff like that, which is.
I haven't heard anybody talking about, like, you know, in terms of, like, so the current standard for most people is Quest 2, right? That's kind of like the, as mainstream as VR gets, that's like the mainstream VR device. But, like, is this like a big leap ahead of that in terms of like power and tech and everything? Or is it more or less the same? Or what's your take on it?
Well, they've said it's corded, right? So it doesn't have to be its own power and everything. Quest is basically like a mobile phone, right?
Right.
That does VR. It uses like mobile chipset and whatever. And this doesn't have to be, that doesn't have to be the sole thing powering it. So yeah, sure. I think it's definitely going to be better than that. I mean, looking at what they showed too, the footage, like,
yeah,
looks, you know, along the lines of like the highest end PC VR stuff now. I don't know like the different screens that the different things use, and I don't know enough about all of that type of stuff. But the resolution is like a little bit better than the Quest. But it's all about, the resolution doesn't tell you everything, because, like, you know, you used to be able to have a high resolution, but you still get the screen door effect because of the way the pixels are, and like there's so many different aspects to it. But like, I mean, I think Sony really nailed it. Besides all of the cords and stuff in the setup for PlayStation 1, the actual visuals, the comfort of the headset, everything about it except for, and well, the controllers kind of sucked, right? Because they're the controllers
are ass, yeah.
They were not built for that. And they were just kind of like being repurposed. And so you had syncing problems and like that kind of stuff. So if you're using a game that did not have those, though, just on the performance, like, I think they did really great stuff with PSVR 1. So I've really, really high hopes for PSVR 2. Obviously, like, we're a VR studio that makes a lot of VR games. So like, take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, I'm super pumped.
I think all the stuff about this is really interesting to me, because I'm going to sound like an old, out of touch lady, which, you know, what else is new? But in my head, VR is still very much like a difficult to acquire, and most people can't have, you know, you might know one guy who has one, and he'll have a party sometimes and let everybody try it out for 20 minutes kind of thing.
Yeah. And you get pink eye.
Wow. And then you know, in the last couple months, especially over the holidays, I really noticed that Oculus was putting a ton of ads out. Like, their advertising push was wild over the winter in Japan, at least. Like, commercials every break would have an Oculus
ad. They've been doing that actually in America now for at least two Christmases. And also, I don't know if you noticed, like, on Twitch, at least here in Japan, like, every ad, I was getting a lot of like Resident Evil 4 Quest ads, and like, they're really spending money and getting them out there, and it's working. Like, they're really selling them. It's a really good Christmas gift, right? It's something that you don't need. Totally. But it's something to get for a lot of people still don't have one. It's something people are curious about, but they're not going to buy themselves. So like, Christmases are huge for them. And there were a lot of stories. We might've talked about this last time, but based on, you know, Steam releases these numbers every month of the hardware and who's using what hardware that you can opt into or out of. And the percentage that of people who have their Quest, you know, hooked up to their PC and are using it that way went up by like an appreciable amount. I think it was like 3 or 4% or something, like basically just between December and January, which means like a lot that was under a lot of Christmas trees. Like, Santa brought a lot of Quest to people. So they are absolutely spending
and
a lot of money.
And it works because I am not super into VR. Like, I find it really overwhelming. It freaks, even if it's not a scary game, I find it really frightening. And even I was like, well, damn, I mean, okay. And I, like, you know, looked it up to see how difficult they were to get. And there was just a big shiny buy now button at a relatively reasonable price. So I was like, oh, I could just do this whenever I want.
Yeah. No, it's totally accessible. Yeah, it's very much. And, you know, I mean, Oculus is like, I mean, so I'm really excited about PSVR too. And a big part of that is because, you know, just kind of, I mean, Oculus being self-contained or whatever is great. And we have a lot of friends at Oculus. Actually, the chief architect of Oculus is like a really good friend of mine. Like, they're all, we know a lot of great people there. They're doing amazing things. And like you guys have talked about, they're spending money and they're trying to like spread the word and, you know, they're like the gospel of VR. But at the same time, they're owned by Facebook, right? And that kind of like tints the whole thing for me. And so PSVR coming out and actually, meta this.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's not even called PSVR, the Oculus anymore, right?
Sad. It makes me sad. So I love those guys and I love what they're doing and I hope that they keep doing it. But at the same time, I'm excited that it's not just them. Like, PSVR, and you're going to get a lot of like console exclusive stuff with PlayStation. And the one cable is a drag, but it's, I think I can deal with it if that's all it is. Because PSVR 1, the reason I don't use it is it's a pain in the ass to set up.
Yeah.
But like PSVR 2, like if the trade-off is you're going to get PS5 power behind it, I think I can live with the one cable. As long as the cable is like really long and it's not going to get in the way, you know, like.
Right. It's tough to like it, as nice as it is. And it is really nice to have it just be totally cordless. It is really nice.
Sure,
it's like, okay, how much, what is the difference now that you're getting from that and a Quest 2 then? Like, why you don't need the PS5? Like, what is the PS5 doing? Unless they did some way to make it like be beaming it wirelessly from the console to your headset or something crazy like that, but at least it's a differentiator. It's like, okay, this is the high-end thing. And then even on PC, you've got to have like a cable thing to get the high-end thing. So like, here's the Quest for more casual or easy or whatever, that's that market. And then we're going to push like what's possible. You know, you can imagine Sony like doing all of their franchises and doing like real state of the art stuff.
State of the art. There is our title.
Yeah. You can imagine them doing that with PSVR 2, whereas you wouldn't be able to if it was wirelessly. They had a choice to make, and it was like both ones have the big pluses and minuses. But no date at all. Nothing said on that. So they've been kind of dripping out the now PSVR 2 info here and there. So.
Yeah, I mean, given how hard it is to get just a PS5 in general, how long is it going to take and how hard is it going to be to get a
PS5? That's what a lot of people are saying, you know? Too, right? It's like, until you can go out into a store and just buy one, like, do you want to be pushing this accessible?
Do you think it'll be easier to get the VR2, though?
Because... I don't.
Who knows?
I mean, PSVR1 was hard to get before COVID, you know, in the beginning. I mean, it finally became a thing that you could find. But yeah,
that is true. Yeah, for a while there,
it was really hard to find.
It launched in Japan really late, I think, just because they didn't have the amount of numbers of hardware to ship it.
Totally. If Sony's smart now, especially with everything else going on, you know, I hope that they are like, hey, Valve, like, we will give you whatever you need to put like Half-Life on you know, PSVR
that's
2
absolutely
as a launch game
gotta be
or
coming.
Something.
Let launch, Alex.
That
yeah,
would be such a system sure. seller. Like, it would be huge.
Yeah. I think people don't, because the audience that can play that game is so small, I think it did that game to absolutely not get its due for how completely
sure.
amazing yep. it is. But I think history is going to be really kind to that game. It's going to, like, go way up in people's estimations over the next few years as more and more totally. People get. Yeah,
someone should do a next gen, just like, you know, entire Half-Life series, you know, remaster. Like, you don't even have to remake the game, just like in like sort of upgraded, you know, like what they did with the, what was it, the orange box or whatever, like a more orange yeah. box for, you know, PS5 or whatever would be
orangiest
cool.
oranger box. Yeah. Let's see, the Pope. Did you guys all watch this?
That was of, like, really great.
The Pope being entertained by some clowns that had Undertale music in the, as part of their thing.
Sure love did.
It. Megalovania, I guess.
Blessed.
Is kind of a meme track. Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, good comments? Music is good music, you know. Surely yeah. the Pope enjoys a good bop. He's the Pope, but he's still human, you know. What do you think the Pope listens to at home? Do you think he's got like Blue
Dracula,
Christmas?
Of course.
Yeah. Besides Dracula, besides Rob Zombie, E3 online only. Again, this
maybe.
Year they announced basically. If you have to decide right now if your conference is live or not, like, I feel really sorry for people having to make that yeah. choice right now, because it's like, I don't know. Is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse? Is it going to be okay? Who knows? But they said, okay, online only. So that coupled with just everything else, really from people's reactions, you would think that they had just said this E3 is done. We're never doing another E3 again. Because a lot of people are like, here's my E3 memories. And like,
R.I.P.
it was like a funeral.
E3.
Yeah, it was like a funeral for E3. And I think E3 is like, guys, no, we're still doing online only. Certainly, a friend of the show, Jeff Keighley, was like first to like put dirt on the grave. Like a few minutes after they said this, he's like, yeah, we're doing Summer Game Fest. Like, apropos of nothing, we're doing Summer Game Fest again this year, everybody.
Cool, cool. All I need is Summer Game Fest and like limited runs E3 extravaganza, and I'm good.
There you go.
All I need.
Yeah.
TGS in the fall.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but like, of course, like, this is the only thing you can do. I mean, I'm really curious more what like DICE and GDC, which are the next, the soonest, the
DICE is happening, right?
To us events. Yeah, they are. And as far as I know, GDC has not been canceled, the physical part of it. So like, it'll be really interesting to see how those hash out. So, anyway, yeah, they're doing the online thing. I mean, there was some, you know, last year, Squeenix, Capcom, Warner Brothers, Nintendo all did some stuff around quote unquote E3, Ubisoft. So we'll see. Like, those companies are still members of the ESA. So, let's see. In hot acquisition news, because we're all about talking about acquisitions.
Yep.
So Take-Two acquired Zynga in a $13 billion deal, which you would think would be the biggest thing to talk about over couple of weeks. But yeah, of course, I feel like we are legally obligated to talk about Microsoft buying Activision for almost $70 billion with a B dollars.
That is insane.
I would like to challenge us to talk about this in a way that we've not heard a million other people already talking about it, finding angles that people have not explored yet. I'll start.
Generous of you.
I think this means Microsoft could actually legitimately do a Smash Brothers game that would have as much amazing IP all crammed together in the same game as Smash Brothers. Absolutely.
Who's your launching? Who's the launch roster? Eight
Tony
fighters.
Hawk.
Eight fighters.
Go. Nah, what?
Tony Hawk.
I mean, dude.
Can it have the same number of
pinball Harry?
The same number of IP, but the level of IP is like not
pinball
even close.
Harry and Master Chief in the same game.
Are we gonna make
come on the number one thing?
Can we have like a monster made out of the candies from Candy Crush, like a humanoid Candy Crush
terrorist creature? From Call of Duty,
Lost
other
Vikings.
Terrorists, Middle Eastern terrorist from Call of Duty, yeah, Russian terrorist yeah. from Call of Duty. I mean, the Call of Duty IP alone, the amount of unique and wonderful, colorful characters. guy with a faux hawk from Call of Duty. Dude bro from Call of Duty. Like, mm-hmm. you could have like all Call of Duty subsection of the game that would be
right.
Amazing. No, all of the World of Warcraft
like characters. Who? Like name like, one. Name one of those.
Bobby and Becky. What were their names again? The humans with the pies.
Right, Becky.
Yeah. Lich King from World of Warcraft. Green Goblin guy
from the title
World of Warcraft.
What about the Burning Crusade?
Three dirty dwarfs.
Warcraft himself.
Love that guy.
All three dirty dwarves. Huey, Dewey, and
Lost
Louie.
Lost Vikings.
Sure, why not? No, I mean, come on. If anybody's going to do it now, they can actually do it.
I mean, yeah, and it might be a little better than what was the Sony one called? All
PlayStation
All Stars.
All Stars. Sure. Yeah. It's true. They can. I don't know that means they should, but,
they can revive the, Crash Bandicoot Kart Racer and make it all.
They already
of...
did that like 2 years ago. Like,
but now it's Smash Kart. It's Smash Kart because now you have.
There
Master
was some talk.
Chief.
We were talking about that on Twitter. Like that seems like the next obvious thing for Nintendo to do is to Mario Kart. There was a rumor from our boy Sirkin Toto that like, well, it's not a rumor so much as like the obvious thing that Mario Kart, the next Mario Kart's in development. Yeah, of course it is. But that kind of led to the conversation that maybe the next one is like sort of Smash Kart, you know what I mean? Like Mario Kart with all the Smash characters or something, which I think would be a really, 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 really...
They need
something. We've talked about it on the show before. Like, that would be a really cool
Microsoft
idea.
Team Racing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Bill Gates and whatever. who's the guy who sweats on stage all the
Ballmer,
time?
Steve Ballmer.
That would be... If they could pull the naming and branding of it off, because you still have to call it Mario Kart. There's no not calling it Mario
Kart. I said the
Kart,
same thing, yeah.
If they could do that and get the like the hype
Mario
around
Kart
new
Smash
people being announced, that could be. I mean, Mario Kart's already maybe going to be any given Mario Kart will maybe be like the best selling game ever, especially what new one coming out for Switch now. So like that's kind of a genius. I hope that they're doing something like that. I hope so too.
I think that's
Mario
be
Kart
the next Mario
9
Kart
Nintendo Kart,
and then Sakurai could take a break too, because what else can he really do with Smash Brothers at this point? It's like
he's taking a break though. He's already said that, right? Like he's not. He's
I mean,
not,
he says that every
whatever
time,
he's doing
though,
next,
right?
He's not doing. Does he though? I feel like he's not he doesn't full Kojima it like that every time. I feel like this time was a little more definitive. But no hot takes? Like, all the internet is like hot takes about this for the last 2 days as we're recording this, so let's get them out there, people.
I'm mostly curious when the price of Game Pass goes up, because there's no way you don't buy Bethesda, you don't buy Activision, and you don't raise that price within 2-3 years.
Maybe they're still in last place, and they still have a lot to do. I mean, they're doing great, but they still have a ways to go before they can really be on the same playing field as PlayStation in terms of, like, you know... user base and well, I really
no, this deal won't
base,
even
right?
be finalized. Yeah, I mean, this deal won't even be finalized until next summer. They're saying summer 2023,
a year and a half.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. It took a while for Bethesda too. They
Bethesda was
it,
like a half a year, earlier. I think. Yeah, 6 months. Mm-hmm.
Was it? Was it that soon? I thought it took longer, but it was. But is that? And then there's time to like get stuff up and running. There's time to like. It takes time to steer the ship, but the reason this is such a huge deal is because it is such a huge deal. Like long term, this is Microsoft playing the long game, and this is like in the quote unquote console wars. Like this is like a nuclear strike. This is the likes of which, I mean, Bethesda already was heretofore the biggest one, and this is like many times over. That
I'm
still shocked at how much if I'm at Bethesda, I'm kind of like, though, like 10 times us, you're giving them 10 times what you paid for us. Like,
I don't I mean, I don't actually know how much. I literally didn't. I haven't looked like to see how much money is coming in, like on a, you know, let's say weekly basis. But my impression, though, is that Bethesda is like very much the AAA buy it and you're done with it studio. Whereas these guys have like Candy Crush, they have like Call of Duty, they have World of Warcraft, they have like all these games that are just bringing in constant streams of money. Right. And so in that sense, exactly. I feel like it's just a much, much bigger deal for them.
Yep. And they have a market cap, they have stock and a market cap. And so that there's the money that you're going to pay for it. And Bethesda, I think, was like mostly, it was just owned by that, like Wonder Woman's husband, right?
yes.
Linda Carter's.
It's funny because that's how I know it too, which is a really sad thing because from all accounts of people who know him, he was a really great guy. But yes, I also think of him as like Wonder Woman's husband. But yes, he.
So you can't help but be overshadowed by that. I mean, come on. If I fucking married, if anybody marries Linda Carter, come on, you're Linda Carter's husband.
The number of extremely successful women who have been referred to as so-and-so's wife.
Yeah.
You can deal
there
with
you
it.
Go. Yeah. Turnaround totally. Is fair play. So,
I have a friend who worked at Bethesda, like, and he's been there for years now. And like, I still remember like one of the first stories he told me is like when he started there, he was invited to dinner at that guy's house. That was like a thing that they did. Like they would bring, you know, producers and the kind of new people and stuff. And he got to sit next to Linda Carter for like an evening and just basically talk to her. And, you know, when he left, she kissed him on the cheek, you know, and everything. And it's like, okay, you got to hang out with Wonder Woman and even got a goodbye peck from Wonder Woman. Like you just, life doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. Supposedly both are like really cool, really good people.
Super nice people.
Really good
yeah.
Company culture. Yeah. Anyway, so there are a lot of hand wringing and different things, and some, you know, definitely some valid things to think about. Of course, as the internet is wont to do, people want to see it as either amazing, great thing, or like terrible, end of the world thing. But
I think it's somewhere in the middle.
Well, mm-hmm. Of course, the truth is like always, right? It's usually somewhere in the middle, but. Personally, what I don't see anybody talking about, which excites me about this, is like it. If you're not somebody who can only afford one console, I totally understand. If you can only afford one console, let's say you bought a PlayStation 5 and you love Call of Duty, and you see this as like a potentially, oh crap, now I have to either subscribe to this other service or potentially buy another console or like. Not be playing with my PlayStation friends or whatever. I could see you being worried about it. But for most of us who talk about, who are really like into this stuff, who are not like single console people or like really advocating for one console or the other, like you want as many really competitive players as possible because competition drives people, right? It keeps costs down to you as the consumer. And it drives people to be looking for innovation and doing stuff better or whatever. When you have one player that dominates the market, as we've seen before, in specifically in the video game industry with Nintendo and then with Sony, you get lazy, you get complacent, you start to treat your customers and developers and publishers and everybody like you don't need them because you kind of don't. You get totally full of your own shit and then you...
And then you get your ass kicked.
And then that's kind of what ends up happening. And so not that anybody has been like that as much recently. I think people have really learned a lot. But having a really strong competitor, having Microsoft be really strong gets me really excited because I do worry about the long-term future of stuff like Game Pass and the effect it can have on the whole ecosystem. But I don't think that that's something that this, like, that's going to either succeed or not based on what people, the customers do. Like Netflix. Netflix would not have become a thing without everybody subscribing to Netflix. It's like, if Microsoft could do this all they want, unless they come up with a service that really is that good, then everybody's not going to subscribe to Game Pass and then take it away from regular sales and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like if that's going to happen or not, it's kind of inevitable. It's like a business model thing. It's like free to play happening. Like, I don't like those games, but I can't stop that from happening because it's a business model that other people want and it works enough to drive the market. And so, yeah, like also it excites me that there's all of this IP and stuff. Activision had kind of just become like the Call of Duty studio recently, right? I mean, yeah. with some exceptions
yep.
and some remakes that they've done recently, but like there's a ton of IP that they have that they were just sitting on because they were just so laser focused on the biggest profitable ones. And this now potentially means, especially with a service like Game Pass, that it could behoove them to dust off some of those old things and let developers have at them again. And so totally. There's some good aspects to that. I feel like there is a lot of stuff to worry about, but I feel like that stuff is being talked about a lot, plenty. Whereas I feel like some of these other things I've not seen so much discussed. So
the thing I'm interested in the most out of all, I mean, yeah, everything you've just said is basically, I think, on point. And, you know, the thing that I'm most excited or interested about is how does Sony respond to this? Like, and
yes.
or do they respond? Yeah. I mean, I think they respond. Right. But then the question is, how do they respond? And then, you know, I still think that the one place that Sony can leverage that Microsoft literally can't, I mean, they could brute force their way through it, I guess. But like Sony has, you know, Japan and Europe, honestly, like two places where their platform is actually quite popular and Xbox is not. And mm-hmm. it's like, you know, there are studios in Europe, there are studios in Japan. Do they go after someone like Capcom or, you know, Konami or Bandai Namco or I don't know. Like,
yeah.
And try to come those, back to that side, you know.
They could have bought for the same price. They could have bought EA, Ubisoft, Take-Two, Capcom, Square, and maybe Konami yeah. or Konami might have put them over it. But like the market cap for those companies is relatively yep. way cheaper. I don't know if some of them would sell, but I think the weird thing with the Japanese companies, here's the problem that Microsoft has there, I think, is that some of those companies, we've talked about this problem before on the show, like it's a problem getting people to make the games for their system. I think it would definitely be a problem selling
oh yeah,
the company what they would do it is because it's like you're making games that your family and friends and nobody you know, well, maybe not nobody, but like everybody sure. around you doesn't play, and how weird that is. And if yep. the whole company was that way, I think that's just too much of a stretch. However, if Game Pass becomes such a thing where it's like in every TV,
yeah,
in every computer, yeah. then that could become less of a thing. And then it could be, but I don't know. I mean, that would be years away, I think, from being plausible, where you could go to like a Square and be like, hey, we're going to buy you. And yeah. eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually all your games are going to only be on Game Pass. Actually, mobile is a big thing too. That's a big one to mention because mobile, of course, is huge in here, Japan. And so if Game Pass on mobile could become enough of a thing where it's like, oh yeah, you're still making games, and it's just kind of a background psychological yeah. thing, but like you're making games that people in your country, your yeah. home country play.
No, totally. And that's why I think you're more likely to see, like, you know, I think Microsoft's biggest competitor in that sense is not Sony. It's like China. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Tencent and it's NetEase and it's these giant companies who also are spending shit tons of money.
Yeah.
And I could see, I could never see Square Enix. I would almost bet anything that they would never in a million years sell to Microsoft, like for all the money in the world. Because of that exact reason, like none of their talent would stick around, and no, they're not going to do it. But like, I could see potentially somebody like maybe Sega or, you know, Capcom or one of these like companies that has a couple big franchises, but not like a ton of them. But maybe I would much sooner see them go to China. I would much see them team up with like one of those big Chinese companies closer to home, you know, probably is more willing to give them independence to do what they want, let them keep doing their thing in Japan. And they're right. not going to. Like you said, they're not going to have the problem where nobody who they know plays their games because that's a big problem. That's a big failing of Xbox not having a presence here. You know, but
it's a tough. Yeah, it makes it hard to get the ball rolling. Right, it makes it hard to get started because it's just yeah. like yeah.
yeah.
So I think the point you were kind of making too about not just being a strike against PlayStation, that this is them kind of boxing out. I mean, a legitimate thing that could happen is like an Apple, a Netflix, somebody with just giant amounts of money, giant war chest, suddenly deciding to get into games in a big way and just start going out and buying this stuff as well.
Or Amazon.
And so, yeah. or Amazon, exactly. So yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it Google, like if Google ever just redid their strategy completely. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting to think about. I mean, somebody is going to succeed on this model. I think it's a really savvy, like they had to do something different, right? They couldn't compete with Sony in the same way, go at them the same way. That's not how you do business. It's like, oh, we're going to make good single player experiences where they had to differentiate and this is doing it. So,
yep.
If the tech gets better here in Japan, because like I have Game Pass on my iPad and like I was able to play Hades on my iPad without hooking up a controller or anything. So it was too laggy to play Hades, but the idea of just like, okay, suddenly I'm in every Sony TV. Well, maybe not Sony TV, but like if they can get into all the TVs.
Not Sony TV,
probably. Not Sony
first,
TVs.
That
would be
absolutely
huge, actually. If Microsoft struck a deal with like LG to just like have Game Pass on every LG TV, wow, that would be.
Because
like,
I'm sure
anyone
that's
serious
happen.
About games has one of those OLEDs, right?
So like, because then that opens up more, I don't know what the right neglected, but like harder to penetrate markets like Japan and Europe when it's like, it's just in your TV. Give us. It's $1,000 a month here, like $10 bucks here in Japan. So,
well, it's Sony's move to make now at this point, and I think, I mean, I jokingly said this the other day, but I think there was like a lot of diarrhea in San Mateo the morning that this all got announced because like everyone in Sony was like probably shitting themselves because there is a lot at stake when you're losing your no. So I don't agree. We had this argument actually with some of our friends in the chat, but I don't see like Call of Duty like disappearing from PlayStation overnight, like. Maybe I see it
not
phasing
overnight
out.
And not Warzone, but it'll definitely
right
to,
it'll phase
the
out
same thing
but it's not
going to
be like people who think it won't be around next year. I disagree. Like I think it's still got a year left at least because it's
oh well
too
next
big.
Year yeah next year again
well, a lot of people were like they're not making June. Any more Call of Duties for you know PlayStation and I'm like no they are like it's not
well once it switches over though I think that will be it I think because it doesn't switch over until next year and I think they'll put out I think a more interesting question is, do they still do Call of Duty annually? Because like that was getting hard for Activision to even keep pulling off, and they were having to pull more and more resources. Do you still, when you don't have to just worry about the retail bottom line every year, do you still do, you know, come hell or high water, everything to make that happen? Every
that's
year.
A really good question. Yeah, I mean they have like two or three devs who are just dedicated to Call of Duty, right? I don't remember what is
right.
it like Sledgehammer and
Treyarch.
I don't remember Treyarch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like yeah, I
yeah, they do. But even so, like they had to, you know, they had to have the one where the was just no single player, and you know, they really were starting to struggle and like do other things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be good for us too, because you know, like those are some talented developers, and on one hand, it's kind of a shame that all they do with their entire lives is make Call of Duty games. So it'd be cool to just free them up to do some other cool shit, you know?
Yeah. So,
do they bring you know World of Warcraft to Xbox? Do they, you know?
They actually have controller support now, so it's feasible.
Like, oh, really?
You know, part of your I think that happened with the latest expansion pack. So like, you know, part of your ultimate subscription, you know, here's a WoW sub.
Right.
Got rid of all the toxic people. Please come back. So it's possible.
Be interesting. Be very interesting. Yeah. A lot of people speculating like what happens to Battle.net, you know, now, or like there's a lot of interesting implications that I guess we'll see, roll out. Not the least of which, you know, we haven't talked about much about like the unionization stuff and all the lawsuit things and things like that that Amazon that Activision is facing again because I think there's a lot of people out there and a lot of good reporting happening.
I think the biggest the biggest most tragic news of this entire thing is that I'm gonna have to buy Gabe a fucking steak.
Because
yes, that's coded. Right.
Are we gonna go public with that?
I mean, I have till June, right? So like there is still the chance that he
this
but,
year
but
June this year.
I know, but apparently he's sticking around until I mean he's not gonna I'm sure
that
like, as soon
did
as
that
the deal
bet
is
not
done,
happen on the podcast? Do we need to explain?
No,
we should explain.
Oh, did it not happen on the podcast?
No, that was
happened,
all on Slack, baby.
It happened in the channel.
Oh,
was
all
on right. Slack.
Well, yeah, now you have to explain.
Yeah, well, we bet that when all this stuff was going down with the Activision lawsuits and all those things, we bet that I bet Gabe that Bobby K would be out the door by I think we said E3?
Mm-hmm. E3 or June like yeah. 30th, whichever
it was. E3 or the first day of June, whichever happened first.
Initially, now, John, you were like, he's out. He's got.
Oh, yeah.
I said he's out. Initially, I said by February. But I was not. This is the thing that frustrates me is we can, unless we go to another timeline, we're never going to be able to definitively say it. But I was not wrong. Like, there is no world where that dude stuck around if they didn't get bought. And in fact, it's probably a big part of this getting bought was this happening. You know what I mean? Like,
Bloomberg article,
right? Yeah. There's a lot of reporting on that topic. That is absolutely why.
Right.
Basically, Phil Spencer reached out because he's like, what was unsaid is like, I think I can get them cheaper. Like,
it's like the wolf is in the trap now, and I can actually, you know, it's like, what is he going to do? So,
well, there's definitely something to that, but I'm less confident than you are, John, that he would not have just like stayed and brought the ship down with him. Since it was his company and he built it, and like, there's all kinds of weird
30 years
shit wrapped up in it.
You're right. Sorry, I forgot that we did that offline. But yeah, I that was tough because like I was sure that there was no way I was losing that one.
John has lost and owes different various people.
Well, I haven't lost yet. There's still, you never know. There's still a twinkle of hope. But
unless he dies, wait, what happens if he dies?
I was thinking it, but I didn't want to say it.
I win.
I think if he's dead, he's no longer at the company. So I think
that is a fair. That is a fair technicality.
Unless they have his urn on a salary
No, I'm winning on a technicality. I can't not let him win on a technicality.
That's right.
That's very honorable of you.
I like it. You've decided you've won. I mean, I'm not. I've 90% given up, but I'm holding out hope that there's still, you know, some scandal, scandal might pop out where they have to boot him.
He's out. Big giant payout lame duck.
Maybe there's new dirt to come out, or you know, I don't know. Maybe people will, you know, betray, rebel against Microsoft,
or he might have a sudden attack of conscience, like in a '90s, you know, family comedy movie, and suddenly renege on all of his horrible life choices and try to make good with everyone within the next 36 hours before his daughter's ballet concert.
Okay,
it might happen.
Gong, Activision talk. Gong. Right. Gong,
I just want to put out there.
Gong. No, Gabe, gong. Do you hear the fucking gong?
No, I don't.
That I'm doing? Gabe, no. I'm going to mute you. How do I?
Oh, man. I'm in control. I can mute you.
I can mute you. I'm going to talk over you until your ears bleed.
I love that you decided to mute him, but you don't know how to mute him.
Sega establishes Sega Sapporo Studio. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you live in Sapporo and you're listening to this,
I want to go.
Worked at Hudson way back in the day. You can get back in the video game industry. I do too, man. I love the snow. I would love to be in Sapporo right now.
Ah, man. I want to live there someday, I think. Yeah.
What's the insect situation?
Oh, God. They're not that
bad
too cold.
Because it's too cold.
Sounds good. I'm going to go.
But it sounds like they're going to be, you know, doing a lot of like Phantasy Star Online 2 support, but also ramping up to original titles and stuff like that. So it'll be very interesting to see where that goes.
The insect talk. You just reminded me that my wife said that Boba Fett ship looks like a cockroach flying, and now I can't not see.
Kind of does.
Have you ever seen like one of those?
Fire spray. Mark, it's called now. When it comes off.
What? Like,
spoilers.
What?
What did they do to my slave one? They're retcon. Well, that's not a good word, Gabe. So they have retconned.
I'm sorry. Have you watched Star Wars?
I know. It's hey, I'm not arguing. I think it's fair. I think it would have been better to just not ever mention it again, rather than give it a new name. But anyway, when it flies, she said it looks like a roach flying off the wall here, Gabe. So be careful because you are scared of roaches. You may not want to watch.
No, it's not. It's not scared. It's hatred. There's a respectable difference.
And that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Cockroaches in Japan fly. So
they're like bounty hunters. They're
well. Right.
They wear Mandalorian armor.
That's right. They have fucking Beskar armor. Like they're really hard to kill.
Nintendo Switch sold over 5 million units in Japan last year, outselling all other consoles combined. PS5 sold 10 times as many units as Xbox Series X and S.
You can also just get OLEDs now. Here. Like you can just walk into the store and say, "I got one."
Did I mention that on the podcast? I got an OLED.
How big, Mark?
Switch. Oh, no.
I thought you meant the TV. Yeah.
I got that too, which has changed my life completely. I can't believe it.
Did we talk about it last episode, or was that before the – we did. Okay.
Yeah.
77.
See episode little asterisk in the corner. See episode
– 304.
304. There you go. Atsushi Inaba, friend of the show, back at Platinum Games as president and CEO. That is interesting and surprising. And
he's been back for a while, but yeah, him getting bumped up to president now is a little bit surprising. But,
yeah, oh, is that what happened? Okay, cool. Yeah, congrats. It was, you know, it was there in the heyday for a lot of their big titles. I feel like they haven't had a ton of huge titles recently. They have been kind of quiet, really, like the last 3 years.
What's that game that keeps Solaire Crest keeps getting delayed?
Soul Cresta, yes.
Soul Cresta, sorry.
I think they're talking about it recently. They had a thing earlier in this year. I didn't watch it, though, so I can't tell you what happened. It looks hot. I'm excited about that. Yuzo Koshiro doing the music of like a sequel to a classic arcade series. That's my jam, so I'm very excited about that. They've been quiet, huh? They haven't – they got to be cooking some big projects. I mean, they were involved with – they did work. I mean, they worked on the Nier game. They worked on Nintendo's. What was that? Astral Chain. They had some big stuff.
Nier was their bigger
the next round of.
Yeah, they did the wonderful.
It was a bigger seller. Yeah,
stuff. Some remaster. Kind
isn't
of stuff.
Isn't Bayonetta Platinum?
Bayonetta.
Yeah, they're making Bayonetta 3.
Yeah, so Bayonetta 3 is doing its thing.
Soul Cresta coming soon. There's like someone.
I don't think anybody has any happening. like. I don't think Bayonetta is going to necessarily be a big seller though, right? It never has been. It's been like kind of a hardcore. You know, people like us love it, but
I mean, people who love Bayonetta fucking love Bayonetta.
I would love to know the story on 3 in particular, and what is taking so long, and what is happening? Is it being rebooted? Is it changing? Is it just a small team? Like,
they talked about it not long ago, and it said it was coming along, and it's like on the way.
I know, so. But that's not the like what I want to know. What the real actual story is? Like, how does that game take?
Right.
Well, how many years have been 5 since it was announced? Like first show? Long. I don't know. Something.
It's been a while.
Let's see. Live action Lost Judgment TV series in the work.
No kidding.
Could also be getting a live action movie. Starring Kimitaka.
I was going to say, who are they going to cast as the lead? It could be anyone.
Whoa, yeah. I totally missed this. That's cool.
Yeah, I guess he would be in for the movie, but not the TV. Is that right? The TV adaptation for TV Asahi. Temporary title said to be Sabakurizaru, meaning the unjudged. That was part of the Lost Judgment title in
yeah.
original Lost Japanese Lost Judgment title. Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be cool to see Kimitaku on the big screen in that role.
I'd watch it.
I mean, it was always kind of looked like a TV series or a movie anyway, kind of patterned after that. So it's kind of cool to. It makes sense. I think it would work. What were you going to say, Gabe?
Do they, so for Lost Judgment, I know with the Yakuza series, they got actual like crime drama writer people. Do they do that for Lost Judgment too or no?
I believe they did, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was the same guy from the first one who was kind of famous, but it was good.
Also good, Awesome Games Done Quick.
That was great.
The 2022.
It was awesome. Quote, was it
the
awesome?
Winter one.
I didn't say that.
So good. 3.4 million. They were off to like a really fast start and just didn't let up, and they broke their record right at the end. But then when they added in all the sponsor money and all the subscription money, it like they beat it by like
$300,000 about
$300,000. Yeah,
yep,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Any favorites? The Resident Evil 8 run I watched was really good.
I finally watched someone beat that game.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Not during this. It was over the holiday.
You finally
break,
gave up and admitted that you're never going to.
I'm not. Yeah.
After professing up and down that no, I'm gonna
I said I was going to play it and I did play it, but I couldn't play far in it because it made my wife motion. She gets sick from watching me play it.
You said
it, so.
You were going to pick it back up and finish it. And I'm like, you're not doing that.
Picked it
like,
back up? No. Yes. Finished it? No. Yeah, I'm not. But yeah. It was. I'm kind
of. What'd you think of the last. Half and ending.
Did they just give up and they were just like, ah, whatever, just write a bunch of shit down and we're going to just use it. It's like, made no sense at all. It was so fucking stupid. But it was, the game itself looked like it was really fun, but the story made no sense at all. And it was dumb. It was, and like,
yeah,
I don't know. That was just my take. I actually don't know how the internet at large reacted to it. I heard it won a bunch of awards.
No, but the internet I thought it was at large actually pretty stupid. Positively just... about it. Yeah, and you know from our talk about it on the podcast how I feel about it. But yeah, I think the last section of the game is by far the weakest.
Yeah.
And speaking of Dracula, that guy looks like he listens to a lot of Rob Zombie.
The runner?
No, the fucking zombie. The last
Heisenberg.
Heisenberg, there you go. Where it's like Quake 4 aesthetic, like,
yeah,
that worked so well in Quake 4. Let's use it in a Resident Evil game. It's
if
so
you
bad.
The motivations of like all the kind of key characters in the last quarter of that game were just like made no sense at all. Like, just what? Yeah. Even the characters asked some questions that I was like, yeah, I'd be asking that too. It made no sense. Like, it was bad. It was really, really
bad. Chris, like for all appearances, shooting his wife. And then he meets him again and doesn't tell him immediately, look, that wasn't your wife. I shot it because that was like an evil witch lady.
If you're just going to straight up spoil it, then yeah, that's...
Yeah, I just wrote the time code.
Thank you. That's the stuff I'm talking about. It was so stupid and unbelievable and just like, what? Yeah. Like, how on earth is this happening? And then like, since we're in the spoiler zone now, so Gabe is going to mark it. But like the way he like dies and then comes back and like all this nonsense, it was just like... Okay, yeah. They're not even at some point. They were like, "We're in punch the boulder mode. We're just going to do a bunch of stupid shit that makes no sense."
Well, it's funny that you bring up the boulder punching because we also fucking jumped the shark where he's like, "You talked to that boulder punching asshole," and it's like, "How'd you know that, bro? Did you play the game?" Like,
were you there? It's like you watched it on Twitch, like in the Resident Evil world. You watched somebody speedrun Resident. Like, what the fuck is going on?
If nothing else,
think about this.
If nothing else, the inclusion of that line tells me that they were like, "Come on, guys, we're going on a fucking ride now. Buckle up, for like the funsies."
Like, anytime we mentioned a meme when I was at A4, it had to, over everything else, it had to be a plausible line that someone in that world would say.
Right.
And yes, it could have this other extra, like somebody says, "My body is ready in
Awakening." Yep.
Awakening in Fire Emblem.
Frederick says it. And it makes sense. It was part of the story. Context.
If you didn't know that meme, you wouldn't blink. Yep. You would just keep going. It'd be like a funny line.
Right.
That's
how you do it if you're going to do it. Yeah,
exactly. And like the fact that nobody at any step of the process is like, "Wait, what? No, what? No, why would we do that? Should've been hot." Anyway.
Sorry. Anyway. Yeah.
That was a good speed
run. Hats off to Games Done Quick. Yeah.
I just wanted to shout out the Sekiro blindfolded run.
Yes. That is the shit that they're doing nowadays. Blindfolded. They also, did you see the Metal Gear?
I have yet to watch.
They did the Metal Gear demo.
The tanker,
somebody played through the Metal Gear, the tanker demo, blindfolded too. And they're like, you have to listen to the steps. And like, it's fucked up because it's hard enough to do. But if you lose it, if you get lost in the world, you have to be able to figure out a way back. You have to have like safety strats. It's amazing. And they can't commentate it themselves because they have to be so focused on the sound. So they have to have other people commentate it. Those are definitely worth
it's really impressive
worth watching.
Some good runs, check them out.
That Nintendo Hotel thing as its headline here in our show notes. That hotel is opening finally, Marufukuro, which is at the original Nintendo factory, one of the original, maybe the original Nintendo, like
the old Nintendo
Hanafuda card
making
factory. That there was a plaque there, and like some people on YouTube would like go in and kind of break in, and there was a couple things inside there.
Really?
But
people broke in.
But
jeez,
you quote unquote broke in, like kind of. I mean, that were not like allowed or welcomed in, and just kind of like went in and filmed it.
Interesting
and stuff. But there was not anything exciting going on there for a number of years, so I don't know. This hotel is definitely mentioning that, but they're not like theming it around, like if you just saw pictures of the interior of the hotel, I wonder if they even have something in the lobby or anywhere really like calling it out, because it looks like they just totally remodeled the inside of the building. And it does mention that the
spirits of
old...
Nintendo employees past are wandering the halls. Yamauchi like ousted his whole family when he joined the company, right? They're probably all like, it's haunted by them. They're all
right.
It's got like the plaque on the outside. Like the building always had the plaque. So I think people who are in the know are still going to want to go to the location, but they aren't marketing it as like Mario Hotel, pipe in every room.
Exactly,
because I think that's not the audience they're trying to get.
That building.
Probably because they can't legally do that, which is, it's kind of too bad that they can't celebrate it a little more. But I do think people will still go to see the building. I do not think that people will go and stay there because the prices are like
wild.
The hotel rooms are starting at like, you know, $1,100 a night for really fucking small hotels where you could stay at pretty nice ryokan in Kyoto half of that.
Well, the people who are opening this place they're the family of Yamauchi, right? The former president of Nintendo.
That's right. I forgot that aspect of it.
It's related. It's not like it's completely random and someone just like, oh, this is a cool building to take over. Like this is,
that's
the
right.
DNA is in this building. It's just that, it's incredibly expensive. Like as soon as it went up, I went and looked and I was like, I'll go.
Yeah.
You know, I'll stay here during Bit Summit this year or whatever. And then I saw the price and I'm like, or maybe I won't. Like,
that's
I'm
right. I forgot it's like Yamauchi number 7 or whatever the name
number
of the
10,
family.
Yeah, the family office or whatever.
They should have done that. They should have. I mean, you can do it in a tasteful way. It doesn't need to be, you know, here you go. Here's your set of Mario overalls. Like, check in at the, you know.
I don't know that they're definitely not. I mean, maybe they're, I mean, yeah, they're not. Obviously, they don't own the IP or any of that. So they can't do those kind of things. But
they could have, you know, here's the, I don't know. Here's like the old press that they, you know, in the, built it around that a little bit more. I don't know.
They're also, the website is still pretty bare bones. Like there's no, you know, there aren't really pictures of the rooms that are really great yet that aren't like on the booking page. There's no information about the meals that are included. You know, if they have a restaurant that you can also dine at, even if you are not staying at the hotel. So there's still a lot of details about this place as a destination that just aren't out there yet. So there still could be other stuff coming out. The location is incredible, though. Did you see where
it
is?
April. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very, it's a really nice area. We went there a couple of years ago, actually, with a friend of the show, Bill. You remember we went with Bill Trinan was in town, and us and Jake and him went out there. It's it says here, according to their site, that this is the first head office of Nintendo from 1889. So like, it is the like, it's not just like a factory that was out there or something. Like this was the place.
Right. The headquarters. I mean, I would have, you know, I would have had like some really nice, very stylish, very modern, but like wallpaper themed on, you know, Hanafuda cards or something. Like I would have, I would have played into it somehow more than they did, even just from judging from the pictures that are, they're on
did
the site, which looks like a very nice modern hotel, but also very like, no personality to it.
I wonder what this means. It says there's like a newly built annex, like designed by Tadao Ando, I don't know who he is, and it says a nod to
the
nostalgic,
super famous architect. Yeah,
is he? It says it's a nod to a nostalgic and timeless aesthetic of the original building. So maybe there's, you know, that part of it is actually meant to look like it looked. I don't know, but
yeah, the rooms are. They mentioned like if it's in the original building or the new thing, but I think it's a big missed opportunity. Maybe they do something cool in the lobby or whatever, but.
Maybe we should all just like chip in, like when COVID's over, like we all just chip in and like get a
Patreon level, gold tier Patreon level. John spends the night with you at the Nintendo hotel, and we don't promise anything. We don't promise that anything is going to happen.
If the mood is right, we'll pull out some Nintendo playing cards.
But
and,
if you leave, if you leave $1,000 on the nightstand, and are not going to complain if it's gone the next morning. Stay
I might
magic,
take your money.
Magic can happen. Magic can happen. You'll see fireballs.
No, not magic. Some... That's not a Nintendo property.
Magic the Gathering will happen, Gabe. Get your mind out of the Magic the Gathering. I think that's mostly it, right? I'm sure we're forgetting some stuff, but hey, that's what we do.
Those are the...
If we're forgetting stuff, somebody will surely let us know.
That's right. Where will they let us know? Tina or Gabe or anybody.
I got it. You can find us at our homepage, 8-4.jp. our second home, giantbomb.com. We've got a thread on Resetera. Feel free to leave a comment there. You can leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. And finally, you can follow the show on Twitter at 84play. You can follow me on Twitter at Gabriel De Leon. John, where can they find you?
John TV. Mark?
At Mark MacD and Tina.
I am Tina Butts with 2 T's and a Z.
So, as always, until the Patreon is up, you can thank us by telling a friend and or friends about the show, tweeting about it, tweeting at us. As always, let us know what you think. I didn't mention, and maybe I'll talk about this a little bit more next podcast, I got a lot of really great suggestions for everybody for games that my 4-year-old can play separately and with me, and she's been very much enjoying Donut County. Donut County's fun!
It's a good one.
Yeah, she's very into it. I have to read the hipster dialogue notes to her, but other than that, like the game itself, she plays, really loves it. Loves the soundtrack now. Wants to listen to that in the morning on our little Google, whatever the hell the thing is, Siri or whatnot.
Do you guys use Alexa? Sorry to interrupt here, but since you brought it up, you guys have Alexa, but do you use it?
Wait, what's the difference? Don't use Alexa, use Google. Google Home? You say Google, do the thing that I want you to do instead of saying Alexa, do the thing.
Is there a difference?
Does Alexa pull from YouTube?
I don't use it, but she fucking sometimes just starts talking in the middle of the night, and that spooks me. Like, she'll just say something. I'll hear a voice from the hall, and I'm like, what? Like, and it's not like we talked and she heard something, like nothing, just silence. And then all of a sudden Alexa is like, you know, I don't know how to do the whatever. And it's like, who asked you? Like, does that not happen to you guys?
Every once in a while, Google will. It's probably going to react right now.
Oh, maybe the cats are like touching the button or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Maybe
I even say the G word when I don't want to. Like, I don't want it to start saying shit and like, what? I can't understand what you said. What did you say? Or it starts saying the time.
We've probably already set off some listeners.
That's what
already. Oh, as you guys are speaking, guys. I'm like, oh no,
1,000 of them. All we've been doing is saying like the A word and the G word and the S word. It's totally dangerous to tiptoe around it, but I need to play for you guys sometime. I'm just going to leave this in mystery and I'll reveal it maybe in a future podcast. What used to happen, I don't think it does anymore, when you asked Google to play relaxing music in Japan.
Please tell me it was fucking Dragula. Please tell me it was fucking Dragula.
Aiolis may have complex flavors and textures, but at its very core is 2 things. Eggs and oil. Now take cars, for example. Cars are 2 things. Metal and oil. And isn't metal, if not just the yoke of the earth, mother herself? And isn't oil not just oil? When combined, they make fast-moving, hard aiolis.